Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. And actually, this is our last broadcast, Guy, of you and I on Mondays for 2025 as we close out 2025. And I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for the hard work that you do in preparation for this show, the incredible information that you bring forward that our listening audience truly appreciates. I know that you take it very, very seriously, and we appreciate that as well. And I want to congratulate you and your team for all that you do, and in particular with the not-for-profit community. You guys are great corporate partners. Y'all are always there helping out in so many different ways. And it makes this place that we call home a better place to live, work, and raise a family. So congratulations to you, and thanks.
Oh, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. The show causes me to stay up on events and do a lot of research. So you're actually doing me a big favor, and enjoy the back and forth. And thank you so much for the kind remarks about our nonprofit efforts, because that is one of our big priorities here at the bank.
No doubt. Y'all are all over the place. All right, let's jump into it. The Venezuelan situation. This has a lot of twists and turns to this thing. I haven't been able to figure them all out yet.
It really does. Newt, when you were younger, did you play pool?
Yes.
Okay, so imagine the beginning of a pool game. You break the pool balls apart. That's where the Venezuela situation is right now. The Secretary of State is breaking the rack of pool balls apart, and a lot of different balls are going different directions, but there's a lot involved. So we start with Venezuela itself. Venezuela had elections, and the premier of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, lost. Edmundo Gonzalez won. The whole world recognized it. Central and South America said, look, he won, you lost. Maduro refused to leave, refused to change, and in fact threatened to arrest his opponent. So his opponent fled to Spain, and Maduro just stayed in power. And he has made Venezuela progressively poorer. And it started out as a phenomenally rich country. And I think a lot of people forget how rich Venezuela was, but in the 1961 Thunderball novel by Ian Fleming, he had his villain, Emilio Largo, say, we convert all of our illegal winnings into Swiss francs and Venezuelan bolivars, the two strongest currencies in the world, the hardest of hard currencies. So we have a country, Venezuela, that went from incredibly strong currency, phenomenal economy, to absolute privation. People leaving, electricity challenges, food challenges, the government is a mess. And the people voted out Maduro. Well, he refused to leave. In the meantime, one of the opposition leaders, Maria Machado, stayed in Venezuela. She won the Nobel Peace Prize, made a courageous move to go by ship all the way to Stockholm to arrive for the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. Because of the dangers of the trip, she arrived a day late, but her daughter accepted the prize. So say all that foundation to say Venezuela is a big mess. Maduro and Chavez have impoverished the people. And so the U.S. government is looking at that and saying, you're not a legitimate government. The military is involved in drug smuggling. That's one of their cash crops. They smuggle guns. So what can the U.S. do about it? Well, on the drug smuggling front, they've started to shoot at the drug smuggling boats. On the oil front, the U.S. has said, these tankers going to Venezuela have been sanctioned. And sanctions don't really mean anything if there's not any actual action. So what's happened is the U.S. has seized two sanctioned tankers. And this is really causing a big problem for Venezuela. Venezuela is part of the linchpin of illegal smuggling of oil. Venezuela has very heavy crude oil, and in order to sell their crude oil, they have to mix it with thin oil. Well, they get that from Russia. Russia violates the EU sanctions, the United Nations sanctions, and ships using their shadow fleet thin distillate to blend with the crude that Venezuela produces. So one of the shots that U.S. is taking is to shoot at Venezuela by stopping their oil exports. And at some point, fairly soon, their export terminals will be full. They'll have to shut in their wells, and they'll have to stop production. This is also a shot at Russia, because Russia ships thin crude to Venezuela, is paid in kind with heavy crude, and so this hurts Russia as well. In the meantime, these tankers are also used to illegally ship Iranian oil, part of the shadow fleet that defies sanctions. And so this is a shot at Venezuela as well as at Russia. These tankers also are used to ship Russian crude to China, Turkey, and India. So it's an indirect shot at them. But what's most interesting is the Secretary of State realizes that Venezuela is the primary supporter of Cuba. Now, Cuba's been going through incredibly tough times. I've been going to Cuba every year for the last decade. It gets worse and worse and worse. And we go as a part of a mission group that works with Cuban pastors. But food is short, electricity is short. Without Venezuelan crude oil, Cuba can't run the government. They can't feed the people. They're already in deep privation. And so Secretary of State is seeing this as an ultimate ricochet shot. He's hoping that this will cause the Cuban government to fall, Russia to weaken because it's not able to get the crude that it's shipping to Venezuela, China and Iran to be hurt because their shadow fleet is being interdicted, and ultimately Venezuela to change governments to a democracy. So you talk about a lot of different places. You said it's hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah,
all those different balls are bouncing.
I would add, that Venezuela has been an incredible disruptor to the Caribbean basin as well. They've been the primary financier behind Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua. He's a communist leader there, and obviously, as you just mentioned, Castro in Cuba, and also the funding and financing of Hezbollah in the drug trade in Lebanon. So their tentacles reach in a lot of different places. And in fact, Nicaraguans in this country supported Donald Trump because of his anti-Maduro stand, with the belief that removing Maduro out of power in Venezuela would change the political climate in a significant way in Nicaragua. And you know, so they have been a disruptor in many ways, shapes, and forms.
They have been, and it's shocking that Ortega got back into power in Nicaragua, because he was terrible the first time through.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that's interesting is Maduro uses Cuban security to enforce the regime. He doesn't trust his own army enough to have his own army protect him. So he's actually protected by Cuban Secret Service agents. So one of the advantages of getting rid of Maduro is all these Cuban Secret Service agents that are in Venezuela enforcing the regime's power would either be arrested or go back to Cuba, hopefully arrested in place so that they couldn't go back and support the Cuban regime. But yeah, his tentacles are everywhere. So there's a lot of benefit if there's an opportunity to get Maduro out of power and get a justly elected government actually in power.
And Venezuela also grants passports to a lot of Middle Eastern terrorists. And a lot of the folks that are involved in the sale and importation or exportation of coca and you know, cocaine and things of that nature, poppy, in the heroin trade, these folks go to Venezuela and they get Venezuelan passports, and you know, they kind of hide and secrete themselves behind Venezuela. It's a thriving industry for them. They are a total disruptor and a thorn in the side of democracies, not only here, you know, at home, but across the world.
They are. They're also involved in money laundering. One of the other things that's happening as a result of this is that the rental rates on vessels to transport crude oil have gone up by 467%. So this is this is in that shadow fleet of Greek ship owners, you know, violating sanctions. So it's now becoming more expensive to violate sanctions. So it's another attempt to put some financial pressure on a regime that's already weak, already not particularly popular. One of the signs of their weakness is because there's so much despair, Maduro said, we're going to start the Christmas season October 1st, and we're going to celebrate and party, party, party all through the new year. It's like, okay, that's a government plan, because you can't feed the people, you can't get insulin and drugs imported. Instead, we're going to move Christmas up and party till the new year. At least that's the his administration's attempt to distract people from the problems that he's caused.
You know, it's interesting, too, Guy. Maduro reached out to the Colombian president the other day soliciting assistance there. There seems to be some real angst and anxiety relative to the new president of Chile, who is a democratic president. One is very conservative, and that seems to have worked kind of as a disruptor there, too.
Yeah, and there seems to be a new move of people in South America recognizing, you know, the leftists have not done what they promised. They have, in fact, made us poorer. They've taken money for themselves. But it's time to go back to, you know, good government, back to elected officials, and back to sound fiscal policy.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of disagreement as to whether or not the United States has the authority to do what they're doing there, but there's a lot going on, and I don't know whether they do or they don't or otherwise, but the Maduro impact around the world is a lot larger than most people know.
And the sanction The one thing that is clear is we do have the authority to seize sanctioned vessels.
Mm-hmm.
The shadow fleet vessels that are turning off their transponders, picking up illegal cargoes, and then transshipping them, those can be seized under UN rules. So that's not piracy. Now, the gangster move would be if we seized the oil and sold it and kept the cash,
right,
which we haven't done. But what seizing a sanctioned vessel is actually something that is consistent with international law. And if you don't do that, what does it mean to be sanctioned? You know, you're going to have a little bad note in your logbook. You know, it means you can't enter any of the civilized ports, and you are subject to seizure if you violate the sanctions. And that's something that Russia is very concerned about, because the way they're supporting their war effort is using sanctioned vessels. And the example that is important is West Texas crude sells for about $57 a gallon. Russia has to sell their crude at $34 because of the risk of either Ukrainian attacks on the vessels or a sanctioned vessel being seized. And that's the purpose of the sanctions, is to pressure countries that are doing things like invading others and make them stop doing it. So that,
Guy, do we have any sense as to how big this shadow fleet is?
About 400 vessels, mostly old, mostly Greek-owned, although they fly under a bunch of different flags. And one of the things about international shipping is you never really know who knows what. You know, in banking, we have a know-your-customer rule. We have to know who actually owns a business in order for them to do business in an American bank. In international shipping, you can have a shadow company that's registered in a tax haven, and you can have a flag of convenience, even though the ship's never been to that country, the owners have never been there. And so you really don't know who owns what. We do know a lot of the ships are Greek-owned, because they tend to buy the older oil tankers and then just reuse them until they're sent to the ship breakers. And the Greek owners are saying it publicly. They're saying, look, this risk may be getting too high. We're going to have to do other things with these old ships.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, there's always more to this story, right? And as you dig deeper and you pull back the layers of the onion, you're seeing more and more connections as to why there's this heightened scrutiny and view of the role that Venezuela is playing.
Yeah, and the tragic thing is this is a country that, once again, back in 1961 was on par with Switzerland. Now think about that. You've gone from that level of financial wealth to an absolute basket case relying on drug smuggling, oil smuggling, stealing natural resources. You know, the Venezuelan oil business was created by American companies. And we had licensing agreements. The Venezuelans seized the oil from the American companies, rewrote the deal, and now the only American company that operates in Venezuela is Chevron, and they do it on a very limited basis. There's an ironic Louisiana connection. A number of our refineries are built specifically to process Venezuelan crude oil, so they can handle that heavy crude that comes from Venezuela, where a lot of other places can't.
Because it was not too long ago, you and I had a conversation about a year ago where we were still importing Venezuelan oil.
Yeah, and we still are to a certain extent. Chevron has limited approval to send a certain amount of Venezuelan oil here. And, you know, that's something that the Biden administration allowed, the Trump administration has allowed that to continue for a while. And it's strictly monitored, but at some point I wouldn't be surprised if they don't say, look, we're going to have to stop that as well. But
yeah,
Chevron can still legally send a certain amount of Venezuelan crude to the U.S.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about Germans and a bad China deal, and Ford puts its e-truck in reverse. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, we've talked about the German economy and the trials and tribulation of same over the past 3 to 4 years. And obviously, I remember you distinctly telling me that at some point they reached out in a big way to China. What went wrong?
Yeah, 2001, China joined the World Trade Organization. And a lot of people, including me, thought, this is great. Now we are going to have a global trade union. Everybody's going to play by the rules. And there'll be no need for conflict because the economies will be so interconnected that a great power war will be unthinkable. So Germany went into this in a big way, and Germany started out with a tremendous advantage. They have a significant car manufacturing business. You think of some of the fine automobiles they make, the Mercedes, the Porsche, Audi, you know, great cars, well made. Germany also has a big, big machine tool business. A lot of precision machine tools, the best in the world, are made in Germany. And so when China joined the World Trade Organization, Germany was uniquely positioned to benefit because China needed machine tools to modernize its economy. And what people forget is China's economy was incredibly backwards. The Cultural Revolution destroyed the intellectual class. The country was extremely poor, and China realized they needed to modernize. And the best way to do it was to import technology. And they were fortunate in that they had the Germans who provided machine tools. Germans also provided a significant manufacturing base when Volkswagen established a manufacturing base in China. And so China was able to see German manufacturing firsthand. You had Chinese workers working in the Volkswagen plant. You had the German machine tools. And China was a net importer of cars. as their economy started to ramp up, people started wanting Mercedes, Porsches, and, you know, life was good. Germany thought, this is fabulous. We're going to export things. China is going to be a big market. We're going to get a Volkswagen in every garage. And what Germany didn't understand is China had a different objective. Germany, the U.S., most of the EU thought, we're going to have a globalized economy, an integrated supply chain, and everybody will benefit. What China's objective was to come up to world standards and then to switch to a China first policy, where China would become the world leader in all of the significant technologies, whether it's manufacturing, green technology, solar panels, etc. And so while Germany was thinking, this is great for us, we're going to help China, what they didn't realize is China's plan was, we're going to take your technology, we're going to take your machine tools, we're going to replicate, without paying patents, all of your technology, create Chinese competitors, and then we're going to quit buying from you. And so the trade surplus with China evaporated as China moved to a China first policy. So China's new strategy, and it wasn't a new strategy, it was theirs all along, was protectionism. We're building up a Chinese economy, and then we're not going to need the European Union's products anymore. In fact, we will sell to them. So in the first wave, you know, Germany was really pretty complacent, because what was imported to Germany were things that the Germans didn't really make much of: apparel, furniture, household appliances. And they felt, this is going to be a good deal. But what changed is China then subsidized their local manufacturers. They stole technology with active electronic stealing, or just simply by having workers in plants. And then once they had the technology, they quit buying European, and they adopted a China first model. And one of the things we need to remember, China has what's called a social score. We have credit scores in the U.S. that tells, you know, how you're doing in credit. In China, you get a social score, and China can manipulate the social score to change the outcome for people. And the social score determines where you can live, where your kids go to school, what opportunities are available for you for promotion. So when China tweaks the social score and says, we're going to reward China purchases, we're going to penalize purchases from Europe, it changes behavior, because you really don't have much of an option. And what Germany didn't anticipate is Chinese protectionism, Chinese subsidies for competing industries, and the fact that China would cheat on the economic statistics as well as cheat on patent protections. And now Germany wakes up and realizes, wait a minute, the demand for Volkswagens is down. We're literally going to have to lay off workers, which we've never done before in the history of Volkswagen since World War II. China has a $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world. They're flooding Europe with cheap stuff, and our consumers are buying it. And as a result, our high-paid skilled workers are beginning to have a challenge in finding jobs. So what seemed attractive to Germany in the first place ran into the reality that China's objective was never to have a global interdependent system. It was to have China be the dominant power. And Germany is seeing that firsthand.
Guy, this sounds eerily familiar. Are we not caught up in this same boondoggle now?
Oh, yeah, and we are. And then Germany also, this is one of the sort of the perfect storm. Germany was absolutely fabulous about building internal combustion engines. So once again, you think about Audi, Mercedes, Porsche,
BMW,
phenomenal cars. But German Greens got into the government and started pushing for a transition to electronic vehicles. And look, that's perfectly fine. There's some wonderful electric vehicles out there. But what the German politicians didn't understand is an electric vehicle has fewer moving parts than an internal combustion. It's easier to make, and it's closer to a cell phone than it is to a manufactured product, because it's an electric motor. And then it's all about the electronics. So China had a unique advantage, and they got that unique advantage, ironically, from two American companies, one being Apple, who located their plants in China and gave China a giant leap up in understanding electronic technology and manufacturing. Second was Tesla, which built plants in China. So when the Greens started pushing for more electric vehicles, China, because of the help from German machine tool makers, the skill they'd learned from Volkswagen, the technology they got from Apple and Tesla, was able to create electric vehicles that are significantly cheaper than the European equivalent. And the problem is the Chinese companies, because of the subsidies, weren't required to make any money. And so they have flooded the market with very inexpensive electric vehicles, and they're actually, in some cases, very good electric vehicles. So the consumer is stuck with the choice, gee, should I pay 50% more for a domestic product or get something that's 50% cheaper? And the European Union is waking up to this and saying, you know what, we need some tariffs. And talk about eerily familiar. What does that sound like?
Yeah.
We better have some tariffs and protect our domestic industry.
So if we wanted to do what China did, how would we go about doing that? I mean, this social score thing is kind of interesting to me, because it would seem maybe you reward U.S. citizens for buying U.S. products with a tax write-off.
Yeah, we want to clarify our objectives, but not the methods. China's methods are incredibly coercive, and China is a country that doesn't brook any dissent. There's a phenomenal man named Jimmy Lai. He was a billionaire, had a press empire in Hong Kong. He was recently sentenced to life imprisonment for simply saying, Chinese government, you agreed that we could have a free press in Hong Kong. You agreed that we could have free elections in Hong Kong, and we wouldn't be subject to the Chinese mainland laws. You agreed that we would have one country, two systems. I'm simply calling on you to live up to your agreements. And of course, China's response to that was to arrest him, sentence him to life imprisonment. So you can imagine it's frustrating for anyone to be in prison, but you know, billionaire in prison, all of his money doesn't mean a single thing.
No.
China doesn't care. They're coercive. That social score would be too manipulative. I think what would make more sense for countries like the U.S. is to call China and say, look, you agreed to the World Trade Organization. You have to live up to the rules. If you don't, you're not going to have privileged access to our markets. The other thing China does is they cheat on environmental rules.
Sure.
The European Union's recently cited them because they're shipping toys with lead paint, choking hazards, other things that violate rules. And Shein and Temu are saying, oh, oops, that was just a small vendor. It wasn't really our intention.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, Guy, let's talk about the Speed Act passing, and the governor is going to Greenland. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, the SPEED Act clears the House. We've talked about permitting in this country, in this parish, in this state. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this goes all the way back to 1970. Richard Nixon, at that point, had a majority in the House and Senate, proposed the National Environmental Protection Act. The idea was that the federal government would take a look at major environmental impact before approving a big project. Seems logical, seems rational, and really at the time, no one could have imagined where it ended up. That act has been expanded to mean significant environmental statements are required on essentially every project, and the delays now stretch 5 to 7 years. And it is incredibly frustrating because if you imagine Amtrak wants to do some improvements in the Northeast Corridor, they're going through environmental reviews. Well, the reality is there have been railroad tracks there forever. This new railroad track is not going to make any environmental difference one way or another that's significant. It should be approved very quickly. And this is something that has frustrated everybody. President Obama once passed a stimulus act, and 6 months later, nothing had been done. And someone asked him, he said, well, what is the problem? He said, there are no shovel-ready projects. You just can't start projects. So this is something that Nixon passed originally. Everybody thought was a great idea. It became a disaster. And now the House has passed something called the SPEED Act. And what it does is goes back to the original intent. It simply says you're only going to look at major impact. And this passed with a bipartisan majority, 221 to 196. You had some Democrats cross over, particularly from states like Michigan, where they focused on that and said, we need to have accountability, but rationality. Because what's going on is we're delaying every project for an inordinate amount of time. And if you're opposed, particularly radical environmental groups, They can clog the system up with lawsuits. So this limits who can sue. It puts some regulatory timelines in place, and it's something that really should be a bipartisan effort. Nobody is proposing ruining the environment, but America, in order to be competitive, particularly with a growing China and the challenges we face around the world, we need to finish projects more quickly. And you think about the things that we need to do, that expressway through South Louisiana that hasn't been built yet, the other bridge across the Mississippi River. You know, everything we want to do takes a long, long time, and it can be held up with permitting delays. So I was very happy to see this. People often talk, well, Congress hasn't done anything. Actually, they have. They've done some very good things, and this is one of them. It's going to go to the Senate when the Senate comes back in session in January.
And we'll report out what happens there. So, Guy, a lot of folks are asking why Governor Jeff Landry is on a delegation or leading or helping lead a delegation to Greenland.
You know, that's one of those things when you look at the news and you wait, what? So President Trump has said that Greenland is a source of many strategic minerals, and that's absolutely right. Greenland is a protectorate of Denmark. So it's a separate country, but Denmark actually has supervision over it. And what Trump has said is he wanted to buy it. He wanted to buy it just like we bought we bought Alaska from the Russians. He proposed to buy Greenland. You know, I think maybe if the price were higher or he had a better effort, perhaps he could talk the Danes into it. But that hasn't worked. And so now he's appointed our governor to be a special envoy. And the purpose, the stated purpose, and this comes from the president himself, is to make Greenland part of the United States. Now, I'm not sure if that means like Puerto Rico is part of the U.S. or like Alabama is part of the U.S. as a fully established state. But that's what he's asked our governor to do. And, you know, God bless the governor. I think that's a big challenge. I don't know that this is going to be something that can be pulled off. And I'm not sure what the Louisiana-Greenland connection is, but that's the reality. As of this morning, our governor is a special envoy with a mission to make Greenland part of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, that came out of nowhere, right? I was like, whoa. Yeah. All right. And I understand the strategic nature of Greenland, both, you know, from a homeland security perspective, from a shipping lane perspective, flight lane, you know, aviation perspective, and not to mention rare earth minerals as well. Let's pivot real quick. We've got a few minutes left. Ford puts e-truck in reverse.
Yeah, my goodness. You know, this is one of those things. We just have gone the wrong direction. If you look around, the way to do the electric vehicles is to start small. You have people all over that are using golf carts, which are simply electric vehicles. I think we needed to start basically ramping up from small to big. Instead, we attempted to go the reverse and go from big to small. And Ford invested literally billions in their e-truck. And the idea was that the F-150, most best-selling truck, people would want an electric version. And the challenge is, it's more expensive than an internal combustion, and consumers, particularly truck buyers, didn't like it because what they discovered is, particularly if you're hauling a load, a trailer, or something of size, your mileage is really pretty terrible. You also start out with a very heavy vehicle because the battery is very heavy. So you've got a big vehicle that's heavy. It got heavier, so you have expensive tires. You have limited range, limited towing capacity, higher cost. And so demand was absolutely in the toilet. And once the president was able to cancel California's EV mandate and California's ability to set their own emission standards, there was just no hope. So Ford is going to take a $19.5 billion charge tied to its electric vehicle manufacturer. They've so far lost $13 million just in monthly sales, not sales volume, a net profit since they've been selling these vehicles. And they said, we just can't do this anymore. Instead of plowing billions into these large EVs that'll never make money, we're going to pivot to smaller vehicles, which is really where it should have started in the first place.
But Guy,
a very expensive pivot.
Isn't this emblematic of the fact that you're treating... So the federal government is a regulator, but we're not really regulating, right? I mean, we become so onerous and we're trying to shift directions in a short period of time. They think 10 years is a long period of time, but when it comes to auto manufacturing, that's a very short period of time. And you had these people that reacted thinking they were going to do so in good faith, and then they find themselves upside down.
Yeah, and we tried to mandate something that the consumer wasn't ready for. I mean, once again, there's some wonderful electric vehicles that adaption will occur, but when you try and push something on consumers that they don't want, it's very expensive for the manufacturer. And then when it doesn't work, all that money is wasted. And they've essentially said all the money we invested in these plants to build these vehicles that nobody wants to buy, we're just going to have to write off because there is no demand.
And then we as the consumers end up paying in the end too, right? Because prices are impacted.
There's no magic. Ford has to make this up somewhere.
You know, so again, we're paying the price, either directly or indirectly. Guy, as always, we truly appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a blessed holiday season and a happy new year.
Oh, you too. God bless you. See you next year.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot. Stay with us. Scoot's up next, talking about holiday stress, finding the perfect gift, and the college football playoffs. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you again in the morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.